Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. And today is Thursday, September the 25th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. We have another beautiful day here in Illinois. A little bit cloudy, but still gorgeous. And beautiful green grass still, so it's a paradise. And we're delighted that you choose to join us each day, that you do choose to join us in understanding and integrating these ancient Aramaic tools of forgiveness. Our work is simple. Are you willing? Are you ready to face everything that is less than love in you? And to access those things that are less than love, those things in you that don't support the full expression of your human life, are you ready to access them, face them, and forgive them? When we say forgive them, we're offering an original definition of forgiveness, not the one that the Greeks have put into the equation. You know, we're told in this culture that somebody else is responsible for all of our pain, all of our hurt, all of our sadness, our grief, our rage, our fear. Scared me, he made me mad, she hurt me. And when we live in that lie, we lose access to our human lives. What is a human life? Hold the newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. We are here to live as that awesome, active presence of love. And when we can't, then we have work to do. And the work is the work of forgiveness. So in the first century Aramaic language, the word forgive has nothing to do with me letting you off the hook because there's something going on inside of me. The word forgive is the tool with which I go inside of me and remove the root of my pain, my sadness, my rage, my guilt, my grief, my fear, whatever it is that's going on for me. And so that's what we're here to support you in. We are in Woodstock, Illinois. We just did our fourth workshop last night. We've got two more evenings. Tonight we're going to be doing, if you happen to be in the Woodstock, Illinois area, just west of Chicago, tonight we'll be doing Laws of Living, and tomorrow night we'll get into Getting the Stress You Need. You know, we live in a culture that's given stress a bad rap. And stress, if you know what it is and how to create it, is your best friend. It will make you so successful in your life, it's just amazing. But because we haven't been taught how it works, and believe me, it's been known for centuries how it works, if we haven't been taught how it works, then we tend to become overloaded and overwhelmed with stress. So tomorrow night, we'll be Getting the Stress You Need. We invite you to come and join us. On Saturday, so both those workshops are free open workshops, and we've added an additional workshop on Sunday from 1 to 5. We're going to be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again with a new worksheet, and Jeannie has got the worksheet up on the website if you want to look at the latest worksheet. Step number 1 has been renovated significantly, and if you go to whyagain.org and click the bullseye in the middle of the page, that will take you to a whole list of links. The second link is the latest worksheet, the latest in step-by-step process. And we're actually going to be doing a video of that workshop on Sunday. So we'll have a new 4-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again video that we'll be making available, and it'll give instructions on the latest copy of this forgiveness process. And as you recognize that if your physiology is capable of producing some form of hostility or fear, then you've got work to do. And to get to the point where the dis-ease, and you notice somebody when they're on hostility or fear, you look at them and you'd say, well, that doesn't look like ease to me. There is no entity called disease that comes and gets us. When we put ourselves into a state of dis-ease, when we put an energy into our structure that doesn't belong, we literally create interfering chemistry within the cell, at least at the level where people believe chemistry exists. There's another story about that, but we won't go into it at this moment. But at the level where we look at and think we see chemistry, when we put energies into our structure that don't belong there, we create dis-ease chemistry. And when the cell becomes diseased, it starts to dysfunction. If you leave a cell in that diseased condition long enough, then not only will it dysfunction, but its structure will change to the point where we'll call it organically diseased. Our offering is that there is no such thing as organic disease. We call it that because that's the limit of our knowledge. We've forgotten to catch up with good science. Let's listen to a couple of good scientists who tell us how the world works. Let's listen to Max Planck. Here's a guy who's receiving the Nobel Prize in Physics, and here's what he says. As a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. Hello, Mr. Scientist. Did you hear that? Nobel Prize in Physics. There is no matter as such. He says, our entire world is made of exceedingly smaller patterns of vibratory fields nested one within another, within another. Let's catch up. Let's start to do research on the actual world rather than the fantasies that go on between our ears and the world we see, which is output from our mind, and bears oftentimes little resemblance to the actual world as it was actually created, as it actually exists. And so instead of looking at the chemistry in the cell and thinking, ah, there's something wrong with this chemistry, so we can manipulate the chemistry, what if we look at the nested frequency, as Max Planck says? Nested frequency, one within another, within another. What have we nested within the cell that doesn't belong in the cell that creates a distortion in the cell? Ah, let's take a look. If we go to the opening words of the book of John, what you'll hear those words saying is, in the beginning is the mind energy, and the mind energy becomes flesh. It doesn't say in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh. It says in the beginning was the mind energy. Now, whose mind energy becomes your flesh? Only yours. And you know what? Your cellular structure doesn't care who you're thinking about. If you think a thought of hate, you will put an energy into the cell. And what the cell biologists are now proving is that when you think a thought, that thought becomes a molecule, a neuropeptide within your structure. And that neuropeptide circulates around in your cell, in your structure, until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches. It lands on that cell, and then, according to the cell biologist, it replicates itself in the cell chemically. Our offering is that actually what happens is when it lands on the cell, a small portion of it, a minuscule portion of it, inserts itself, and we look at it and we see chemistry. But really, it's that which we call chemistry is a much bigger frequency pattern that is originated by the mind energy we engage in. And so the process of forgiveness is that of accessing the mind energy of the ages that never belonged in your structure. What did your great-great-great-great-grandfather think? That because nobody knew how to remove it, nobody had forgiveness, knew how to remove that destructive or dis-ease-producing thought that now shows up in your structure as your chemistry once it's activated or put into action through the law of resonance. What is that thought? Are you willing to develop the skill and the ability to access that mind energy and throw it out so that the burden is taken off the cell? And the minute you take the burden off the cell once again changes its structure and goes right back to the perfect cell. You know, we read on the show a couple of weeks ago a a piece of information about some research that was done with rats. And they took rats who had never been exposed to the smell of a cherry blossom, and they would put a cherry blossom to their nose. And as they did that, they would shock the rat, so the rat would experience pain and come to the point where it would be repulsed by the smell of the cherry blossom. Then they allowed the rats to breathe. Pardon me, to breed. And they breathed too, probably. But as these rats bred and had offspring, the offspring had the same revulsion to the cherry blossom smell. And when they dissected the brains of the offspring, there were structural changes in the area of the brain that responds to smell. Literal energy becomes flesh. Becomes, listen to this, physiology from 2,000 years ago. In the beginning is the mind energy, and the mind energy becomes flesh. Now, the world has been ignorant of that for thousands of years. They refuse to listen. They refuse to look. They call the teachings that would heal them religion and bypass it because they've been subtly taught to, oh, well, we talk about religion, but, you know, the truth is that's all kind of silly stuff. That's for weaklings. Oh, if you only knew what was in those ancient teachings. They are so empowering and so powerful when you see them in their original form. Have men come along and degraded them and turned them into mamby-pamby junk? Yes, to a great degree it's happened. The truth is in those texts. And when you recognize that mind energy becomes flesh, when the rat is shocked and goes into fear, an energy impacts its structure and its structure changes. And the structure of its offspring changes. And the things that its offspring fear are the same things that it fears. What kind of implications does that have for us? Especially if we understand that forgiveness is the ability to go in and remove those things which distort and change that structure. All you have to do is insert a neuropeptide into a cell to change the structure of the cell. All you have to do is remove the neuropeptide from the cell to allow the cell to go back to its proper form, because that form is simply a reflection seen by the eye. The truth behind it is this is a nested frequency. This is an energetic pattern. And if something distorts the energetic pattern, we look with the eye and we say, oh, that cell is diseased. It's distorted. But because it's not a physical entity, it is an energetic pattern. The minute that you remove the interfering pattern, you know, let's imagine you've got a television set, you're sitting watching TV, and somebody with an untuned car pulls into your driveway. All of a sudden, there are all these interfering patterns on your screen, and it's noisy. You can hardly hear the sound, and there's all this snow and this interference. And you say, oh, there must be some disease in the TV. Look, there's something physically wrong with it. You can go in and you can change every tube, every transistor, every wire, every resistor in that television set. And you're not going to get rid of the interfering frequency, and it's going to appear as something physical on the screen. It's going to appear as something you can hear to your ear. Remove the offending frequency, and the original structure of the picture comes back, because it's just a reflection of an energetic pattern. Your cells are no different. Your so-called body is no different. And it responds to your mind. And when we understand that, then we understand that any distortion means I need to reach in and remove what never belonged. That's the core of the ancient Aramaic forgiveness process. And if you've never accessed that process and you would like to, there's a step-by-step worksheet, the technology of how to forgive. It's on our website. It's there freely. Why again? whyagain.org. Go to the bullseye in the middle of the page. Click on it. That will take you to a whole series of links. The first link is chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Explains and walks a character through the forgiveness process. The second link is the actual worksheet, the latest worksheet. And then there's a link that will take you to about, oh, I don't know, 12 or 14 other links. And that secondary set of links are each radio shows like this one where we've walked somebody step by step through the whole forgiveness process. So we are delighted to share it with you. There are many, many links there to free MP3s that take you through the whole forgiveness process, give you full instructions on it. As you engage in those instructions, if there's anything you don't understand, the reason why we're here 5 days a week is to be accessible and to offer you support. So we want you to be outrageously successful in understanding and applying forgiveness in your life. And our purpose in doing this show is to create ongoing support for every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And anybody that chooses to tap in, we're here to support you. We're here to share this work. Time, years ago, when anyone who became involved in the work, I pretty much was able to keep in touch with them. I'd be on the phone every 3 or 4 months saying, hello, how are you doing? How's your process going? Got any questions? But now that we're hearing on an ongoing basis from about 50 different countries, it's a little more difficult to keep up with it. And the overwhelming requests for support and assistance have just became too big. And so the reason for creating this radio show was so that we could be available, we could be accessible, we could answer questions, we could create support for each person that taps into this work, wherever they are in the globe, to be able to be successful at using it and to ask any and every question that they have in order to be able to integrate and put these tools to work. So that's why we're here, and we're delighted to support you. And Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
Delightful. It's a pleasure to be here and have you and Jeannie in the vicinity for the entire week. And I'm looking forward to, actually 4 more days, 3 more free talks and the Saturday workshop. And getting the video done, and I reviewed the worksheet a couple times, and to my untrained editing eye, it looks quite good. And I may have missed a typo or two, but I think that the changes you've made in the most recent version incorporate several things I've heard people talk about over the past few years, so that's exciting, and I think the flow is going to go a little bit better, so I'm interested to get the feedback from people to see if they feel the same.
Yes, I think it is going to be a more effective worksheet, the way that it starts out. We thank Julie for her assistance in getting that moving in that direction, and that it starts right up front with feelings as opposed to looking at who we're blaming those feelings on and getting really clear that the cause of my feelings is inside of me. Yes, I have an object of attention, but this is all an inside job. So I think it takes a leap on a whole different level into clarity and really moving into how do we face and forgive, remove what never belongs. So I'm pretty excited about it. We're just seeing how it comes together. If possible, I'd like to have a very brief conversation with you right after the radio show, if I could. You could give me a call, or I'll give you a call.
All right.
Cool. Well, anything else exciting to share? Anything you're seeing in your practice today? Anything that comes to mind out of last night's workshop or any of the workshops we've done this week that you think would be a good topic to bring forward?
I thought one thing I would do is do a follow-up on how we were ending the show yesterday. And we had somebody call in who was looking for feedback and some indication of a direction to work because her daughter-in-law had died. And in processing that and waiting for a chance to make a comment, I thought it might be useful to talk about how my family has handled and my sister has handled the death of her son years ago. And as I talked about it, I got triggered to emotions that weren't there as I thought about what I was going to say. And then I got triggered again near the end of the call. And the trigger statement was that my sons were only 3 and 4 years old when Tommy died. That would be their cousin.
Right.
And the cousin was 9 and a half when he died. So there's a 5-year difference between my oldest and his cousin. And that brought up this intense emotion, and I couldn't even finish the statement, and I had to breathe and let the tears flow and breathe a little bit more. And
right.
So I went and I did a worksheet on that statement. And the goal I had, the object of attention, was my nephew, Tommy, And my goal was for him to be alive and healthy and have a relationship with my sons.
Right.
And when I worked through the whole worksheet and canceled that goal and asked to be shown the hidden part of my mind that was actually causing this deep sadness, I instantly got a picture of me when I was a sophomore in college and my grandfather died. And I was traveling with the cheerleading squad and was not able to be there for my grandfather's last day and for the funeral. And the processing that went along with that was my unresolved sadness about here's one of the very few relationships and losses in my life that I haven't done extensive termination work with, reviewing and cataloging the memories and crying the tears, et cetera. So that really brought it to the surface for me and helped me realize, oh, I have more work to do on having lost my grandfather. And the thought that was driving the sadness was, I didn't get to have the relationship with my grandfather that I had been fantasizing I would have in late grade school and early high school, because he was a businessman, he was very successful, I was one of those kids who got a lot of blank staring time. I was the daydreamer. And so his personality and mine didn't mesh so much in those years, and yet I was looking forward to the time when I would be able to connect with him the way my older brother did. And that didn't get to happen because he left the body. He died.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the processing, and more tears and a few more worksheets outlined. And today I'm able to talk about both without holding back emotions or having them flood up to choke my thoughts or my words. And I just thought that might be instructive for people, and a follow-up and a little closure on what happened on yesterday's show at the end of the show.
Powerful. Powerful. Nice piece of work. That's pretty interesting that it went back to grandfather. I would have thought that it more would have gone to the relationship between your son and his cousin, but that's pretty powerful, pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was surprising to me that it came up because, as I mentioned in yesterday's show, we have done what I would consider a phenomenal job, thanks to my mother and my sister, my part, encouraging my sons to go out to dinner with us, taking them out to dinner when they were younger, encouraging them after they hit the 16-year-old mark, et cetera, that they get together with us and remember every anniversary of Tommy's birth and death and help their aunt celebrate and remember and grieve. So they basically do have about as much relationship as they could have with their cousin who died when they were 4 and 3 years old.
Right.
So it was perplexing to me that I had so much emotion, and then that first worksheet opened up where the emotion was coming from. It was the grief of not having the chance to have that relationship with my grandfather. And then it was startling to me to realize, I really haven't processed that much. And so it was a good thing to do a few worksheets on it last night and keep myself open to the possibility that I may have more worksheets to do about not having been able to fulfill that fantasy of that relationship with my grandfather. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just thinking that perhaps creating a celebration, if you haven't done so, of your grandfather's life with your two sons and introducing them, if they haven't been introduced to a greater degree, and that might open a space for another level of that process.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. I think they were quite young when they're my mother's mother died, and um, Yeah. So they were very young when my mother's mother died. I was getting the dates mixed up with my nephew. And so they've had lots of stories about their grandmother on that side, but next to no stories about their grandfather. So that's an excellent idea. I'll pursue that.
I think back to my childhood, and I had two grandfathers that had passed before I was 6 months of age, so I didn't know either of them. And to this day, they know nothing about them. Have no relationship whatsoever, which, you know, I wish I'd had the awareness to, you know, ask my parents and be able to sit down and have that celebration, really know those stories and bring them into my life.
Excellent idea.
And I need to breathe. There's been a little bit of sadness there for me. So. Worksheets.
So what just got stirred up for you?
Just the fact that while my parents were alive, I could have had, you know, at least a vicarious relationship with my grandfathers. And I know nothing about them. You know, except where they were from, but really know virtually nothing. And so there's just some sadness and some things about that. You know, there is some sadness in me that I realize it's something I'm in need of processing. You know, I think about, I said yesterday, the passing of my mother, and that, you know, she and I had resolved everything we had to resolve, and we're in a really sweet space together, and it was a really sweet goodbye, and, you know, there's been literally no grief around her passing, and it's, you know, have an awesome journey, Mom. Say hi to God for me. But not having looked before, you know, with you opening this door, not having looked before at relationships with my own grandfathers. I knew both of my grandmothers, but and was very close to one of them, but had, you know, no knowledge whatsoever. And there's some grief about that for me to deal with. So,
well,
thank
and
you
I would...
for that opening.
Well, you're welcome, and I would point out that if a caller had said what you just said, you would have invited them to watch their regulatory speech and hear you yourself say that you had virtually no grief about your mother passing, and so that might be a tie-in there for you to look at as well.
I'd be delighted to do that. Thank you.
Well, we had... We have a very fun connection in that my sister, who lost her son, did some extensive research on this grandfather's father, and so I can invite her to participate in that celebration of grandfather's life, and bring the article that she wrote for a college class she was doing and have us read that and have her share what she learned about that side of the family and our grandfather and our great-grandfather in her research. So I thank you for that idea. I will pursue it.
Cool, and I hope that opens gates for everyone who's listening, and this is perhaps a good space for everyone to really look at family losses and family dynamics, family genetics around loss, and to be able to embrace and heal those dynamics is a powerful thing to do. And to refuse to look and to refuse to heal them is to leave those things at a hidden level. And anything that's at a hidden level in the mind, what we know is that if something resonates, then it impacts our decisions, our behavior, our thoughts. And so to bring that information into awareness out of the unconscious part of the mind, it becomes a very empowering and powerful thing. You know, the Aramaic language is the only language on the planet that we know of that has the understanding of the unconscious mind and its impact on perception and behavior built right into the language. You know, there's a suffix that when you add it to a word says, this is something that's in your unconscious that's impacting your decisions and your perception and your behavior. And you know, there's no one on the planet that I know of that understanding exists. And we couldn't decode that from the Aramaic until just a few centuries ago, or a few decades ago, pardon me, when Freud ostensibly discovered the unconscious. Of course, the fact that it's built into the Aramaic from thousands of years ago, Freud, of course, did not discover the unconscious, but he certainly in the West rediscovered it. And now gives us the opportunity to start to look at that aspect, and that when this suffix OOTA is added to a word in Aramaic, it says that that's something that's hiding away in your mind, and it's impacting your decisions, your perception, your behavior. It modifies and changes everything. And so to bring those influences forward and to remove them is the whole idea of the forgiveness process, and the whole idea of creating a community such as the one we have here on the show and through this work throughout the globe for people who are willing to move to that level of inner work and to keep looking at what's going on, what's really going on under the surface.
Well, I wanted to add that we're talking in this particular conversation about death as a loss, and I had somebody come in and trigger some emotions for me again yesterday after the radio show and talk about how the radio show conversation was a real stimulus for them to look at sadness and loss of in-law issues, because when they got divorced, even though no one had died,
right,
their in-law's side of the family completely disappeared, cut off all contact.
Mm.
And it brought up for me that when I went through the divorce that I didn't want, and I took the effort to reach out to every immediate and secondary level family member on my wife's side of the family, phone calls, emails, and handwritten notes, letting them know that this was happening and that I would be open to maintaining contact, and that I had apologies for the ending of our relationship, not one response did I ever receive.
Really?
And so even though there haven't been any deaths, there have been big losses there. And it took a lot of processing. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest pieces of processing I did around that, I was down at Heartland. You might have heard of it. It's an intensive learning center in this southern Missouri. And I was down there, and they were scheduled to do a breath session the next morning, and late the previous night, I got the message from my youngest son that his uncle had died, and I had to make a decision. Do I go and support my sons and face this family that has not said one word to me in 9 years, or do I leave my sons to process this grief and loss of their uncle on their own? And the blessing for me was that that message came right before I had the chance to go do a breath session. So I did my mind shifter and brought up all the emotions around that, and then did the breath session. And that was the single most gentle yet tearful breath session I've ever done. When I got up from that breath session, there was a puddle of tears under my head. And I hadn't even been aware that I was crying. I wasn't sobbing. It wasn't catching in my throat. And I went into the bathroom, and my face was as red as a ripe tomato. And yet I did not have an awareness that I'd probably spent the last 45 minutes with tears running down my cheeks. And as a result of that breath session and the drive home and the worksheets I did, the very next morning, I was able to be in attendance at that funeral and be present for my sons and feel wonderful about the entire experience, and that would not have been possible from my previous life experience without that breath work and without that mind shifter.
Right. I hear you loud and clear. It is awesome to have some tools, isn't it?
It is, and the opportunity to experience that is coming up just the day after tomorrow. One of the more powerful tools I've learned in my 40 years of living life and doing therapy, and you're going to present us with it again on Saturday, so thank you for that.
Yes, so anyone who's in the Chicagoland area will be doing Saturday morning. It'll actually be an all-day workshop. It'll start at 8 in the morning, go through sometime around 6 or so in the evening. Mind Shift is a separate meeting. So anybody that would care to join us, you'd certainly be welcome to come and be part of that process. It's a pretty powerful experience. And the way that it reaches in is just, it's still... You know, after 35 years of breathing thousands of people, it still boggles my mind just how powerful it is when one chooses to step in and go into the still point process. It's amazing. It is amazing. So, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
We don't have anything, nobody with a hand up, but we do have a conversation in the chat room, and hopefully you can assist. This is a young lady who she was just introduced to the work on Sunday, and she's been going through a major process, and she wasn't there last night because she is out with what the world would call being sick, and I told her that, you know, part of it is that she's in a healing crisis because everything that she's put into her system, whether it's genetic or her own, that all of that has to come forth to be healed. And that a lot of it is, you know, going to be physical. But what she was diagnosed with, she has a genetic condition that is it's hemolytic crisis, and it's where the red blood cells kind of destroy themselves quicker than they can rebuild them. And the drugs that they gave her, she's allergic to, so she can't take it. So they basically told her just to go home and live with it. And she's burning up with fever, and she feels bad. She's nauseous and all this, and she wanted to know what she could do. And so I told her one of the things she could do is make just continually consciously breathe, because one of the major functions of red blood cells is that they carry oxygen through the body. And I thought I'd turn it over and see if there's any suggestions that you would have of what she could do.
Well, yes, some of the other things you can do is eat red foods, eat beets, are a great blood builder. There's an herb called bloodroot that can be helpful. And it's interesting, chlorophyll is precisely the same molecule as the blood molecule, except that chlorophyll has magnesium at its center instead of iron. So the blood cell is red and the chlorophyll is green. They've actually been able to drain the blood of some lower animals, totally drain their blood and replace the blood with chlorophyll. And the animal gets up and walks away, just carries on and replaces the magnesium molecule with iron. So chlorophyll can be a powerful blood builder. And the best source of chlorophyll that I know of, and it's very cheap. You can buy it in tabs. You can buy supplements. You can buy liquid supplements as well as tablets. But an easy thing to do, and you can do it for pennies, is get a tray with some good organic soil and grow wheatgrass. Get hard winter wheat. Grow it till it's about 5 or 6 inches tall. You can just cut it off and chew it. Or you can put it through a juicer. It gets kind of intense, so you can juice it and take wheatgrass juice. You can go to the health food store and you can buy Usually most health food stores or many health food stores will have a juicer, and they'll have actually the live grass there. It's fresh, it's live, it's filled with enzymes, and it's an awesome blood cleanser and blood builder. So they'd be some of the things you could do to support your blood system. And you might want to look at what's going on with your spleen, that you would, what kind of a load, what kind of a burden have you put on your spleen that would impact the way your body builds red blood cells. And so they'd be some of the things. And the tendency is, and I'd invite you to look at, is there anything in your life over which you're feeling helpless? Because the tendency is for helplessness, for apathy, to get locked into the spleen, and that interferes with blood production. So that might, they might be some things that you might be able to make use of. And of course, I think we had a conversation the other night at the workshop where you were getting ready to light up this device that you put in your mouth, and you suck about 500 chemicals into your lungs. And that goes directly through the pulmonary artery into the bloodstream and puts such a burden, I mean literally 500 different chemicals along with nicotine into the blood. And so you might want to just look at why you would be doing that, especially with that particular challenge. And, of course, that particular lighted stick is an anesthetic that keeps us from feeling, but what it is that we need to feel and process, we can't feel and process while we're stuffing it down with something like nicotine and 500 different chemicals. It's kind of like, you got yourself a new Ferrari and you are going to win the race. You enter, the Indy 500 with your new Ferrari, and you run the race with the emergency brake on, and you wonder why you don't win. Well, every time you put one of those lit sticks in your mouth and go, and suck it into your lungs, you just throw 500 different chemicals right into your blood. Oh, better breathe. Time to let go of it. Yes, it's going to be a challenge, but, you didn't share this the other night when we were talking, but my input about cigarettes, I just amplify my input by 1,000 times. Now, you have to tell me this about your blood, because literally when you put that into the lung, the pulmonary arteries right there, it just goes right into the bloodstream. So I'm going to invite you to consider, are you ready to give up that drug? And if you need to, go into some sort of a drug rehab program. If you need to do a 12-step program, the reason why people use drugs is singular. The singular reason I would offer why people use drugs is because there is pain that they don't know how to deal with, and they use that drug as an anesthetic. And so when you stop anesthetizing that pain, the load that you put on your blood, you will be able to start to get in touch with, and you will be able to forgive. That is, you will move into removing what doesn't belong, and as you take the load off the blood cells will just carry on and do perfectly fine and function perfectly. And there's no drug that can do that for you. You have to make the choice to let go of the anesthetic. What happens when we engage in an addiction is that every addictive substance is toxic. It's a poison. And if you take it into your system, if there were no pain within the system, you would go into immediate revulsion and throw that thing away, whatever it is. But when there's pain in the system, what happens is engaging in that addictive behavior acts as an anesthetic for the pain, and instead of experiencing the toxic effects of the substance, what happens is we experience relief from pain. We go, this is good stuff, and that's how we get hooked on it. Start doing your forgiveness work and remove what you're pained about. Drop your addiction and your pain will drop away. But there's work to be done, and we just support you and join you in doing that work. I know that's a good conversation about it the other night, And I just redouble the conversation now that I learned this about what you're dealing with blood. You know, you're driving your Ferrari with the emergency brake on. It's not going to last very well that way. That would be my intention. Tim, do you have any thoughts?
Let me add something to that, too, that you might also want to, either one of you might want to add to, is she said that it's too much to, she's healing as fast as she can and as much as she can, and she can't do that and let go of everything at the same time. And I said, well, that's a thought. And she said she's afraid that she holds a belief. She says, if I feel all the pain at the same time, I'm going to end up in an emotional breakdown. I had told her to look at, to do a worksheet on and cancel the goal to be cured or to feel better. And she said, you know, why would I do that? And I said, because there's, you don't create out of what you say. You create from what's inside. And so there's a part of you that is holding something, you know, whether it's hers or genetically, inside, that needs to be cleared. And she can't see what that is unless she lets go of, you know, if her brain is just all filled up with, I need to feel better, I need to feel better. And she said every time she repeats that statement to herself, she just starts crying to cancel the goal to feel better. And she said she has a belief that if she experiences all the pain in her body at the same time, that she's going to have an emotional breakdown. And she's afraid of that.
So I'd be doing some worksheets around fear. And as you do worksheets around fear, I'd make sure that you stay connected with the community of support for your healing process. You know, at Unity, every Tuesday night, there's a support group working with these tools. Be part of it every week. You don't have to face this. You don't have to do it on your own. And if you're not feeling great tonight, come to the workshop anyway. Be in the space of support. When you're in the space of support, where the energy is moving in the direction of healing, it accelerates the process. And as you take care of yourself, you won't have to feel everything at once. But gently allow yourself to immerse yourself in the process of healing and allow those things that need to surface to just gently be removed. Now, I remember back about, oh, maybe 6 years ago, we had a woman who came to an intensive. Might be longer than that, I'm not sure, but she came to an intensive and she had just all kinds of things up in her face. She was just in trauma about half a dozen different things. And she came and she did a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. And about a month after the intensive, she contacted me and she said, what are the dates for next summer's intensive? I want to register. It's like, well, you know, what's the big rush? Well, I had these major things that were in my face when I went to the intensive, and they're meaningless now. All of those things are a joke to me when I think about them. And I've got a new round of things up, and I'm ready for another intensive to get to where those things are a joke too. So you can process through those things. You can remove those things, and you want to stay in contact with your support. Of course, that's why we're here to do this radio show, and that's why we're here. And you know, we've got 3 more free open workshops. I would suggest that you might want to do the Mind Shifters and Open Breathing on Saturday, since the breath is so intimately connected with the blood, and see how that supports you in removing whatever needs to go next. So that would be our support for you. Dr. Tim, you have any input for her?
Well, I would echo everything you've already said, and on a regular basis, I work with people who make statements like the one just being made, and there are a lot of professionals out there who operate from a system that says, yes, people are fragile, people are weak, people need to be coddled, just this morning I was watching a short video by one of the most renowned therapists. He developed a system, and essentially it's talking to different parts of yourself. And his whole process in the video is talking about how dangerous it is to talk with or work with one part of a person if you don't first have permission from this other part of the person. And so if you're operating from a system like that, and if your support, your therapist, or whatever work they're doing has been telling you that you are fragile, then I would recommend that you go back to that person and either decide that you need that approach as though you're fragile, or you come work with Dr. Rice in the next few days and at least try an approach that says you're a lot stronger than you realize and that your true nature is this essence of love, and that with the proper tools and support, everything gets healed. That would be my input.
Yeah, awesome. Good input. Any other thoughts there, Jeannie?
Well, I'd also, I did a quick look on the internet when she told me what she was diagnosed with, because I'd never heard of it. And one of the big things that causes it is stress. And so I said, you know, stress is created by goals. And so look at the goals that you're holding and let them go. They may be wonderful goals, but her body doesn't need them right now.
Yeah, and that'll be our topic tomorrow night. So getting the stress you need, we'll be looking at that whole process of how stress is created, how stress is deleted, and that'll be an urgent one to be there for. So we'll look forward to giving you a hug tonight, tomorrow night, and being here to support you. So, Jeannie, anything else happening in the chat room or any other questions? Anybody with a hand up in the phone queue? Our calling number, of course, is 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear from you with your questions and how can we support you.
No, there's no other questions. Nobody has a hand up. So if someone presses 1, you're next in line. We have 8 minutes.
So we got time for another question or two. If you were sitting in the audience when Dr. Tim and Jeannie and I had just had this conversation, we were presenting on the stage, I know that when we walk down off the stage, you'd be coming and asking questions of all three of us. What's your question? Which one? If you're on the phone, you'll be the first in the queue. And if your phone is, you know, if your voice is shaky, you're concerned, you know, a lot of people, oh, gee, I'll be on the phone and I don't want to do this in public. And it's like, you don't have to give us your real name. You don't have to do this in public. But what you want is the support of the public. And what you've got in this radio show is you've got people from all over the globe listening right now. And
we have a hand.
Ready to literally send out the energy of active love to support you in whatever you need to process. So it's safe. Let's say hello to our caller. Area code?
541. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael.
541.
Hi, Dr. Tim. Hi, all of you in Woodstock. It's so exciting you get to have these wonderful workshops. For what it's worth, I just want to give you a present moment awareness that I just had for me. And I don't know if it's helpful or on subject. I know your listening will be a good connection for it. I became aware of my habit of eating sugar to keep myself unconscious. And I don't know what, I don't want to label it necessarily, but I caught myself real quickly this morning when some Ruka Nikuja Holy Spirit intuition was coming through with regard to a letter that I could write to Wells Fargo about my credit situation. Just a letter was starting to compose in my mind, and it was really insightful and powerful. And I immediately went to, I got to go write that down. I got to do that. And then I went into the clutter of my and chaos of my room and my life and couldn't find paper or pen. And then I went and ate a bite of muffin, which has sugar in it. And I just had the thought, I knew it was going to interfere with my thought processes because that's what I
know.
Throw
that nasty muffin out.
What?
Throw that nasty muffin out.
I know. And though, I play this game with, well, who's more powerful, me or the muffin, too, you know? But the point really is that I made a choice to do something that would interfere with the insights that I was getting, which were what I had asked for to heal my financials, you know, the bigger picture. So
yeah, exactly.
I sabotaged myself. And the hope that I want to convey, even for this woman who has this tough situation, and I missed a little bit of it, didn't hear initially what it was, but you were talking about the spleen and apathy, and I have been listening to that DVD lately, Purpose, Power, and Personal Commitment. It's on the second half of that. And so the catch for me was the catch. And the good news is that there's always the way out as soon as I address it. And so I can ask again for the insight to come, for that letter to write. And I know as soon as I sit down to write the letter, I will be in a receptive, loving mode to receive what can come through. So, in other words, I may have sabotaged myself in that moment, and so I'm noticing my habitual conditioned habit, behavior, and I know that I can ask again and choose again, and I will not have lost anything. So, in the healing process, for this woman that called or was texting or something with Jeannie on the chat room, it's always like choose and choose again, right, Michael? That's basically my point and the hope that we all have that I'm wanting to convey. So see, I'm not angry at myself. I'm not going into self-hatred or any of this other spiral that, and I just want to say from doing all the worksheets I've done, I'm able to keep a higher ground of energy for this. And now I'm going to go on mute because there's an airplane.
Okay. So as you're on mute, I'm going to invite you to just listen to your words. I'm not angry with myself. I have no self-hatred. Interesting that self-hatred comes in here. And I would offer that maybe your sugar is about anesthetizing self-hatred and anger itself. So I'd invite you to do some worksheets around that aspect of it. And I would ask you if you have gotten out the pen and the paper so that when the inspiration comes, it's right there. You know exactly where it is. You got yourself a nice, clean space to do it in and go to it. Start writing. And, you know, whatever you recall from the original guidance, I'd be writing that down now and making that the starting point for getting those brain cells firing again, because it sounds like you're getting the exact guidance that you need. And you know, the beauty of tapping into that higher mind that in the Aramaic was called Ruka Dukuja, that there is a literal elemental force in us that will do two things if we invite her to do it. It's a feminine elemental force. She will undo the effects of our errors. So if in your financial life you've made errors and mistakes, literally outside of you those effects will begin to dissolve, and you'll be taught what you need to know. And so I'd be receptive to that, and I'd have a journal there, or I'd have my laptop open, and it's open and set and ready for me to write on a second's notice. And without, clarity, just going straight for that and accepting that guidance. Asking for it and rejecting it is a way of saying, well, I didn't really want it anyway. And so I support you in healing that self-sabotage and really looking at the anger itself and the self-hatred. And that might be the reason for refusing the guidance, because somewhere along the line you may be feeling like you deserve to be punished. You know, one of the things we found in the prison system was that most prisoners, when they felt they'd done wrong, felt better when they were punished and felt they deserved it. And so you might want to look at why, when you're being the guy given the guidance to assist you in this financial situation, what part of you feels like you don't deserve that guidance and that you deserve whatever it is you're getting? I invite you to do some forgiveness and maybe report back to us tomorrow. In the meantime, our time's just about up. Come join us in Woodstock next couple of days. Look on our website. We've got an intensive happening October 31st in Michigan. bring a stranger to the show tomorrow and create the best year you got of your eternal life and life. Awesome gift to give the world. Bless us.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.